You are now listening to the Slaw Offices of Russo, Russo, and Peretti.
Well,
welcome back to the Slaw Offices with Russo, Russo, and Peretti. I'm your co-host, Robbie Russo, along with Kyle Russo and Peretti. We got a couple topics we're going to talk about today. The first topic that we're going to bring up is our big surprises. Who do we think is either killing it in the NFL or who do we think is bottom feeding? And is it a big deal or not? Kyle, what do you got going on right now with your big surprises in the NFL?
Well, my big surprise is probably a surprise to everyone, to be honest with you, is the Bengals. And, I mean, even the win they had this weekend over the Falcons, man, even the Falcons play a lot of people close. But not for one second did I think Atlanta was going to lose that game. So right now the Bengals are my surprise at 3-1, leading the AFC North. They got wins over, I mean, a weak Colts team. We got a Ravens team who, I mean, they're a pretty decent team now. We got Carolina, their only loss by 10, and then that big win in Atlanta. It looks like, really, other than the Carolina game, they're putting up more than 30 points a game. And it's kind of crazy to me because, honestly, if you look at the numbers, they're fourth in total points. Their yards, they're ranked 16th. Total yards at 376. It's the ranked 16th in the league. Pass yards, we got 12th in the league. Not too bad, but rush yards 22nd, which doesn't make sense to me because you would think with passing yards, I guess just right outside the top 10, and with AJ Green not even being their leading receiver, that they're 3-1, which is crazy to me. And, I mean, not even eye-popping numbers from Joe Mixon, only averaging 4.7 a carry with one touchdown on the year. I mean, Gio Bernard, 4.6, three touchdowns. I mean, similar numbers. You got Tyler Boyd leading the team in receiving yards, which I don't think anybody would have taken that.
So is it their defense? Is it their defense? That's what.
I mean, their defense is always going to keep them in the games. You already know that. The Bengals always have a nasty defense. So, I mean, to me, I don't think it's sustainable. There's a surprise to me for sure, but not a sustainable team. I still have Pittsburgh winning that division and the Ravens in the wild card, even with everything that's happened. But, not sustainable, but still a surprise nonetheless.
Okay. Well, I mean, you've got a team that has some defense that actually keep them in the game, and I'll actually counter you that with my big surprise, which is the Atlanta Falcons. These dirty birds are about as filthy as they come right now, and it's in a bad way, literally. I mean, Atlanta is 1-3, and there's no reason right now that Atlanta or no. We obviously know you talked about the Bengals. They just lost last week on a last-second play. They lost to New Orleans in overtime by 6. They could have had that game won. There's no doubt in my mind. They beat the Panthers, and they lose to the Eagles in the season opener, which I think that's a winnable game as well. I think the main reason on this, though, is their defense, and not necessarily their front four, because Vic Beasley, obviously, he's going to bring it every week. But I'm looking more as the secondary and the injuries that they've actually sustained. You know, they've got four of their big starters on IR, and that's probably their reason. I really feel like the Falcons are a better team at 1-3 than even like your Cincinnati Bengals that you talked about are 3-1, or even a team that's even a 3-1 Miami team as well. You know, some teams that their records really aren't indicating to me what they truly are. So that's just my two cents on that situation.
I don't know if I agree on the Dolphins so much, but yeah, go ahead, Nick.
You think the Dolphins are a real
player? I'm sorry. I heard you wrong then. I thought you were thinking they were a real player.
Oh, absolutely not. I'm saying I think the Falcons are a better team than like a 3-1 Dolphins team. Their record does not give them anything, or their record doesn't actually, to me, doesn't show what they really are. I don't think the Dolphins are a 3-1 team. So,
I actually, sitting here, I don't disagree with either one of you guys's surprise teams. Both of them are a surprise for the same reasons that you both said. So the Bengals aren't sustainable. The Falcons, I actually think, are a really good team, one of the better teams in football. They've just caught a couple of tough breaks. But we all know that the surprise team is the Bears, baby. It's the Bears. The boys are 3-1. Their only loss being on the opening week to the Packers, I believe, and it was a one-point game. They have the defensive MVP in Khalil Mack. I think that's hands down if he continues playing the way he does. And they got a good young nucleus with Mitchell Trubisky, and they're really just riding the high of being the hot team right now. They're catching everybody by storm. If you look at the remainder of their schedule, they don't really have a very tough schedule. They have their division, which was looked at as tough to start the season, but the Vikings aren't looking great right now. Aaron Rodgers' health is just up and down, and the Lions are just – the Lions are the Lions.
The Lions.
And they got four straight games. They got four straight games against the AFC East, I believe it is. And after that, they basically have a fairly easy schedule. They have the Giants. They got the Niners. I believe the Bears are going to make the playoffs, and I think they're the surprise team for me at 3-1.
I can say they're definitely a surprise team at 3-1. Making the playoffs, I don't know. I mean, even with an easier schedule, like you're saying, I don't really know. I mean, how sure I am of them making it if they squeeze in their last second wild card, maybe on week 16, 17, they get that wild card slot. But
yeah, I'm not too sure about that one either. I mean, you say young nucleus. I mean, who really is a young nucleus? We're talking about Allen Robinson, maybe. I mean, he's still yet to show up. I mean,
on his second contract. Trey Burton on his second contract. I mean, these guys are 26, 27 years old in the prime of their career.
Yeah, but we're
still a young nucleus.
You have to have a proven nucleus to say young nucleus.
You have Jordan Howard. Hold on. Jordan Howard, Tariq Cohen. No, the nucleus is what they're basing it off of. The nucleus is where you're coming from, and they're coming from a young base. Two running backs that are young. They're
They are young. There's no doubt. They are young, but let's look at their wins.
I mean, we're looking at Seattle, who doesn't look that strong at all. No one scares Seattle anymore. Arizona might be the not first or second pick in the draft next year. And then Tampa, who's nosedived. Like, I mean –
Everyone was hot on Tampa, and they might be the reason for that nosedive. They're part of the reason for that nosedive. They went in there put an ass whooping on them.
I guess. I mean, yeah, I mean, that team was stumbling. I mean, Tampa Bay was stumbling against Pittsburgh last Monday night. I mean,
we could easily put Tampa Bay as a surprise.
You can't fault them for the schedule. They still have the Jets. They still have the Bills. Those are their next two games. Then the Lions. I mean.
Yeah, they got Dolphins, Pats, Jets. I mean, it's a manageable schedule for sure. I mean, then you go the Bills and you got the Lions. You got Vikings.
I mean, like I said, it's a 9-7.
Yeah, I mean, and I totally agree. I totally agree. They are a surprise this year, but playoffs. I don't know, man. Playoffs.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of surprises in this league. We all know that. One of which we still haven't been surprised about in the last 4 weeks is Le'Veon Bell. I mean, am I right? Guy is still not showing up, and
I wouldn't say surprised.
You wouldn't say surprised?
I mean, to this extent right now, and they're saying till week 10. I saw something today that said week 7 he'd be back. It's a surprise that's this long, yes. But I mean, he's standing his ground. He's holding firm and. And he deserves it, man. I mean, over the past 3 to 4 years, man, I mean, you mentioned guys like Gurley, Zeke, Fournette, I mean, Kareem Hunt. I mean, these guys, and even dating back to DeMarco Murray, even when DeMarco Murray had his hot years, who was up there with him? Le'Veon Bell. Next year, Zeke. Le'Veon Bell. Next year, Gurley. Le'Veon Bell's up there with him. It's them two the whole – he's there every year.
Okay.
He's there every year. And – Consistently at the top. Consistency. Not just consistent, at the top. And what's crazy is that Pittsburgh's literally spitting in his face because of what they think the rest of the NFL would do. Because to them, I feel like the Pittsburgh Steelers are still living in the age where you don't even draft a running back in the top 10. They're saying, forget it, we're not even paying this guy. And I get it, he's got a lot of carries, he's got a lot of mileage on him. But, man, he's deserving. He deserves it. Exactly. And guess what, man?
Put that
he is a big reason for what for what y'all are. I mean, I know you've won Super Bowls without him, but guess what, man? He's a big part of your offense, and you're seeing why. Connor was nice for, you know, a week or two because the offensive line is good. You do have a good offensive line, but you need to mend these fences, pay the man, and get him out there because you're throwing the year away, and you don't have too many more years with Big Ben, Pouncey on the offensive line, and some of these guys on defense. I mean, they put a team together to try and win now, and I think they're going to miss their window by playing around with one of their best players.
Okay, but here's – okay. So I'm not debating that Le'Veon should or shouldn't be paid. He shouldn't get paid. I'm not saying anything on that situation. Here's my thing. I think a lot of this stems – obviously, the media has a lot to do with this. We all know this. This is what kind of world this is right now. The media takes over, and it just blows it out of proportion. This is the same stuff that many people have done in the past. Quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers. You see one guy getting paid, and you feel like, well, hell, I had more yards than that guy last year. I had more touchdowns. I had less drop balls. I had more receptions. I had more passing touchdowns. I had, you know, this. I had that. Even on linemen, I had more pancake blocks, less sacks allowed. Well, why am I not getting paid that money? So here's my thing on that. At what point, and I know this is going to sound awful, like I'm not on Le'Veon's side, but look, the guy deserves to get paid. But at what point, and I feel this way, what point is he a bad teammate? Or what point, because he's getting scrutinized every day, all day, by a lot of people saying he's a bad teammate for not showing up. His team is
– Well, he's a bad teammate when he gets petty on social media. That's when he's a bad teammate, I feel like. And even some guys in that locker room are still going to stick up for him. But I feel like those are the times he's a bad teammate, by posting things on social media, which he doesn't need to be doing. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he's literally mocking a loss. Anytime Pittsburgh loses, he mocks it. He makes fun of it. He pokes fun at it. And Pittsburgh's just trying to take – I'm not even going to sit there and say Pittsburgh's trying to take the high road, but at the same time, I mean, yeah, it comes a point in time when you do have to pay the man. And, I mean, your season's borderline – your season's going to be on the line soon. So it's about time you either pay the man or you just, you know, do away with it at the end of the year. So, I don't know. Nick?
Here's my issue with the Le'Veon Bell situation. I think that outside looking in, we all keep on expecting athletes to feel differently in their place of work than we feel in our own. And he feels that he's the best at what he does. And even if he's not the best, he feels like he's the best. He feels like he should be getting paid more, just the same way that we all do when we're at work. So for us to be arguing with him or feeling like he's handling the situation incorrectly, I don't think it's really right for us to judge, because we've all been in the situation. We've all tried to get more money out of a job at one time or another, and it's not an easy situation. And he only has so much leverage, and he's using the leverage to the best of his ability. He's got people in his ear telling them what they think's best. He's also kind of the spokesperson. I don't want to, you know, necessarily compare him to Cap or to Ray Rice, but in the sense of he's at the helm, he's the one who's going to get all the recognition for this. And he has had the top. Russo said he's had a lot of carries and a lot of touches. 1,541 touches in a 5-year
clarify
career.
Kyle Russo.
1,541. That's a lot to ask of a guy. Yeah, sorry about that, Kyle Russo. And it's just the guy.
You can refer to him as Kyle Russo. You can refer to me as real Russo.
I got another little stat for you that I know the fake Russo likes. And that's the all pros. He's been the two of them. Two out of 5 years of his career, he's been first team all pro. He is the best at his position. He's been consistent. 8,000 yards from scrimmage this guy has in 5 years.
He's sitting here watching Todd Gurley get broke off big money. You know?
I don't really like the way the teammates have come out. Teammates should never come out and talk. Because the same way you would feel about a coworker. When a coworker is working hard and you think they deserve a raise, you want to be upset with them or treat them some way because they acted out when they're upset about that. Cause you would be upset given the same circumstances. And it's time for everybody to stop looking at Le'Veon and for fans who drafted him in fantasy, being upset with him. The man's just trying to do what's best for himself, and he's got to eat too.
Well, speaking of eating and doing what's best for yourself, I think we had a situation this past weekend on a similar concept of doing what's best for yourself, or actually being a good teammate and trying to help his team win, in Earl Thomas. And what happens to him this weekend? You know, he goes down, he fractures his ankle, he's done for the season. And then, yeah, so obviously, you get the question. I mean, we all seen what he did post injury. What are your thoughts on that?
I feel like he got the shaft in. The man should have gotten paid, and this is exactly why you want to get paid. This is exactly why Le'Veon Bell deserves to get paid, and is exactly why he's sitting out. Because if he doesn't sit out, he puts his body in harm's way, and then in turn will not get a good contract. Now, I do believe Earl Thomas is still going to get paid. He's still the best at his position. He's still highly sought after by other people, by other teams in the league, and everybody knows his work ethic. He's going to bounce back from this. I do want to touch base a little bit on him flicking off the sidelines. I feel like that was a hard-ass move, G-shit. But at the same time, not everybody on that sideline is responsible for you not getting paid. Probably not one person on that sideline is responsible for you not getting paid. So I think you're flicking off the wrong people in the situation.
You gotta think about, who is he flicking off? Because do you think his teammates – I mean, there's probably obviously some back office locker room type stuff that we really don't know about. But I literally doubt that everybody on that sidelines, or most of them, or even half the people on that sideline, were talking shit and being negative towards his situation. But I don't know. Like, I know it's a big ordeal. Kyle, what you got on it?
As being a player in general, even if you played Pop Warner up to wherever you played, like you kind of feel what the player goes through if you've ever been through a hard week of practice or just a season or anything. You just can relate. And honestly, I relate with the players, man. I really do think Earl Thomas should have got paid. It does suck for Earl because he's out for the year. You don't know if he's going to get paid next year, what he really needs. And it kind of sucks. And honestly, the flipping off on the sideline, you could get with a couple things on this. You could either say, hey, the guy's really mad at the organization, and he's saying, screw it, I'm gone, and that's it, and this is my final parting. But if you go out and look, you got guys like Bobby Wagner saying that you got to look more into it. It's not just what it is on the surface, man. These guys put so much into it. It's a warrior. It's a gladiator game, man. And he's just wearing it on his sleeve. And I feel for him, man. I really do. I feel for him. Pro Football Focus had him rated as the best defender in the league before he got hurt. He had 3 interceptions this year with 4 pass deflections, with minimal targets. And
I'm off of Pro Football Focus. They had
he's being noticed for.
They had
the guy has been balling, and he put himself out there. I know he had hold ins, which where he was just taking knees at practice and saying, you know what, I'm done. I'm done with the practice. I'm sitting out this play. So I mean, it's pretty crazy, and I think he did it in a brilliant way to kind of hold in, but I mean, it's not being a good teammate. I feel like Le'Veon's a better teammate than Earl is right now. I think the Seahawks team is more understanding, as where the Steelers aren't quite.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on it as far as all that. I'm going to agree as far as the team towards the player as well. Like I said, I stated earlier, the guy deserves to get paid. He's great at what he does. He really is. Whether Pro Football Focus wants to rate him number one or not, he's a top 3 defensive back in the league. And he's proven that year in and year out. I think it's untimely, this injury. It does end his season. It sucks coming back from an injury. He's getting older. You know, he's in his lower 30s. He's not, 26, 25 anymore. So it may take him a little longer to get back on it, stuff like that. But once again, the whole flipping off thing, I don't know. Like, that's just not my thing. It's never been my thing. I've been mad at the coach. I've been mad at the players. I've been mad at plays. I've been mad at things that's happened on and off the field.
Yeah,
I'm not going to flip somebody off. Just being, not even the sidelines. I mean, it's direct or indirect. It's just not my cup of tea. It's just being an asshole. And, I mean, that was a real dick move. I think, although I agree with everything he went through beforehand, but the injury definitely – it sucks for Earl.
And you're a professional. You're a professional. There's no room for that.
Exactly. Right. So, speaking of injuries, Kyle, you've talked about Sunshine a bit, right?
He's really asking how that back is, Kyle.
What happened? Wait, what happened to your back, Kyle?
You've been carrying the weight of all these LSU games.
I mean, wait.
Florida's coming this weekend, boy. Chomp.
But you got a good win. We're gonna go to the creek.
I'm gonna touch on it later. We're gonna go into the creek and we're gonna smack them in the mouth. It's gonna be pretty convincing. What's crazy is we went there last year for the game, and the swamp, which is so crazy, right? So loud. My now 3-year-old son, then 2 years old, fell asleep during the game. It was so quiet in there when we had a double digit lead. I could have kicked up and taken a nap in there, man. The swamp, it's a creek, man. That thing's a creek.
You sure it wasn't the play style of LSU? Because, I mean, that puts me to sleep.
I mean, y'all are dating back to 3 years ago. Y'all are dating back to Cam Cameron and old Les. I think y'all are dipping into those days.
David.
I'm talking about last year with Dave Aranda.
Matt Canada put.
I mean, I'm
up,
sorry,
Matt
not
Canada put no. up some points, but him and Coach O didn't get Canada along. Yeah, his style was a little quirky, but I mean, it is what it is. I like where we're at.
Yeah. So we're on college football right now. One of the big issues that happened this weekend was Clemson, their quarterback situation. Kyle, I know you've been itching. I know you're ready to get in on this. This is your thing. You've been hounding us all week about it. I mean, every day you're sending us something new and some updates and all this behind-the-scenes information.
What's crazy to me
is in the locker room.
Is all right.
What's going on in
Clemson? The best man's
going
to play. It's at a high level. Let's do it. All right? But here's my thing. Kelly Bryant's been your quarterback for over a year now. All right? He's won you some big games. He's brought you to the college playoff, and, yeah, you lost to Alabama. Who hasn't lost to Alabama? Okay? So then, okay, let's fast forward. So, you know,
my team,
Trevor Lawrence is now in town. So, what, 3 games go by? Now we're going to name Trevor Lawrence the starter after what? Playing mop-up time? So we're going to give a guy who is a 5-star everything, number 2 quarterback, I'm sorry, or 1, whatever it was, wherever him and Justin Fields finished. But now you just give it to I guess he could have outperformed him in practice, but I mean, to me, I think there's a better way of handling it. And as far as when I mean handling it, there had to be something behind the scenes, because if you handle it in a way, Dabo Swinney, that you could then say, hey, we're sitting you down, we have Trevor starting, but at any point in time, you're coming in this game. And obviously, we don't really know what he said behind the doors. But what's crazy is that Kelly Bryant is so quick to leave. And then the back and forth that was said with Dabo as far as this is middle school. And I feel like these are jabs at one of your going to be ex-players, maybe, that you're taking shots at. And this is a kid, man. You're a grown man. You're a head coach of a Power 5 conference. And you're acting kind of crazy, man. Like, honestly, you're going to go back and forth with him. And then Kelly Bryant then says he's going to transfer before the game on Saturday. We all kind of saw what happened with Trevor Lawrence. If you didn't, he kind of got hit in the head or neck area, went out, and they struggled. They struggled against a underrated Syracuse team. I want to point this out real quick, though. They did, but here's
they
also the
struggled
thing.
Before.
Here's Trevor. Also the thing with Trevor Lawrence. And I mean, he wasn't setting the world on fire. He really wasn't. So for you to then win the game, squeak out the game against Syracuse at home with a third string quarterback now, then asked after the game if you would be open to Kelly Bryant coming back And you said, yes, with open arms, we would take them. What do you honestly think?
Okay, so he handled the situation wrong. He handled the situation wrong. But Kyle, the best coach in all of college football,
obviously he
did not handle the situation much better. He had a similar situation all offseason going into
this
season.
My point.
No, I don't. I mean, no, because nobody liked it. The players didn't like it. He ended up kind of
He had no choice. He gave him all offseason. Whereas me, I'm talking about Trevor Lawrence came in. I believe he was an early enrollee. I could be wrong, but either way, if he can't.
You still backed Jalen Hurts into a corner, is all I'm saying. I understand he had a choice, but he still got backed into a corner. Dabo Sweeney didn't make the best choices, but neither did Nick Saban. And it is hard for you to say, like, how he should have been in a situation when you prefaced it by saying best player should play, best player will play. And Trevor Lawrence was showing that he was the best player. For whatever reason, that's what that coach saw. And that's what he decided to go with. And Kelly Bryant was and decided, know what? Well, I don't like the way they handled it. I'm leaving. He could have manned up. Somebody could have – maybe that is coaching. Somebody's going to take them under their wing and make a man out of them. But at the same time
we could speculate all day, but do we really know what Dabo said? Do we really know what went down between him and Kelly Bryant? Performance-wise, Kelly Bryant wasn't – blowing anybody out of the water, but I don't find that Kelly Bryant was really destroying himself or killing the team in any kind of way to be able to be taken from that spot. I think the media once again kind of blew some of this out of proportion. We already know how this goes.
But what's not speculation is what he said to the media at addressing it. And there's obviously, if he's saying these things to the media and then Kelly Bryant's so quick to leave, there's obviously something else going on behind the scenes. You know what I'm saying? There's obviously some things going on. And Kelly Bryant's won you some big games at Clemson, okay? And yeah, that Clemson hasn't been hot, but guess what?
There was a clear drop off between him and Deshaun Watson, though. A clear drop off. And then they had another guy behind him who came in and showed that he was better. The coach made the best decision for the team. Now, he didn't know the guy was going to go down, but he also didn't know that
It, what's more controversial? Yeah. You coming out, you getting pulled the third game in, or you getting pulled at halftime during a national championship game? Halftime at a national championship game, and he was still able to handle it in a way that he convinced Jalen Hurts to stay and even play this week and burn his red shirt for the year. He burned his red shirt for the year. If he doesn't graduate, okay, he can still graduate in the fall. Either way.
But I was going to ask y'all that too. I mean, honestly, and speaking – 100% honest here. Last year in the national championship game, when Tua comes in and destroys it and wins the game.
I'm sorry, what was that?
You think Jalen Hurts was staying
against
or no?
You, Georgia.
Did you think Hurts was going to stay for the first three or four games, get his red shirt, and then graduate, and then move on and transfer mid-year, which he still probably can, but without the red shirt.
Yeah.
Well, why would he leave?
I thought he was going.
The only reason why is because
I mean,
that's not smart.
I'm still not him. I don't care.
He's doing it the smart way. He's
not overly impressed. Well, with the new college rules, there's college rules all over. There's rules and regulations that allow a player to go and play the very next year if there's not a program adhering to what he wants. Look at Russell Wilson. Yeah, didn't Russell State, Wilson leave? North Carolina State. Yeah, he went to Wisconsin from North Carolina State, and I mean he played the very next year because Wisconsin offered a program that North Carolina State didn't offer. Or you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, that's what I'm saying. There's a way to get around it, and honestly, I really don't find that Tua is that much better than Jalen Hurts. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, Jalen Hurts too. I mean,
he may
honestly
be able to make a couple more throws than Jalen, but Jalen's a little more.
He's won more big games than Kelly Bryant's one for Clemson. This kid came out of.
Yeah, but Blake Sims, yeah, but Blake Sims won a lot of big games too. Yeah, like a lot of guys win big games because they're at Bama.
Very true, very true.
So we don't know.
Yeah, and I believe they won a national championship with Jay Cutler. So yes, and obviously, and to my point right here, Jalen Hurts runs the ball effectively, which gives Alabama a different element. Tua, he does throw the ball better as deep down the field, that is, and timing routes. I mean, he doesn't have a very strong arm. Not strong at all. Literally, he just throws it up basically 5 to 7 yards in a fly route and tells the guy to go get it. Yes, and they got the best of him. So, honestly, when they get in a tight game with a Auburn or maybe even the LSU or Georgia, where Georgia now knows who Tua is and stop that, it's going to be hard for Bama. I think Jalen Hurts might see the writing on the wall. And I could be totally wrong. But Tua, I mean, I said it last week, he would win the Heisman, but I don't think Tua, he's going to get more credit than he deserves. And that is throwing the ball up and letting five-star athletes all around him make plays.
Okay. We've been all over the NFL. We hit college football. We're gonna change the subject. We only got a little bit of time left, but I want to change the subject a little bit. I want to switch sports completely. Kyle, I know you're gonna have an argument here, but I want your biased self to stay out of this. I want to touch a little bit now that baseball season is winded down. We're in October. You know what time it is. The playoff, the bracket has been set, so to speak. So I do want to touch a little bit on that. I want to get you guys' predictions on who do you think. You don't have to tell me who's going to win it all, but who do you think is going to at least advance to the World Series? As far as the AL is concerned, Boston wins the East, best record in the majors. The Yankees will be second in the East. They're going to go into a wild card game against the A's, and winner of them obviously will play the Red Sox. The Indians and Astros will square up in the first round or second round, whatever they want to call it, after the wild card. As far as the National League goes, you have the Brewers. They got the one seed, best record. The Cubs are also in the Central, and they're going to be a wild card, a game against the Rockies. And the Dodgers will end up playing Atlanta, I believe, in their first round, whatever they want to call it. But Atlanta wins the East. Kyle, I know you want to touch. I'll give you your Braves moment.
Boston's going to the World Series.
They're don't take too long on this, and just kind of give us your update on your predictions on who you think is at least going to make the World Series.
The way they finished the year is just as impressive as they started. And I mean, they're just a solid team, over 100 wins this year. I actually got them winning it, man. I do have Boston winning it, and I have my Braves. I love my Braves. They're a scrappy bunch. But they don't make it out of the first round, and it's heartbreaking because, I mean, they never really seem to surprise you when you get to the playoffs, and it is what it is. But they had a great year this year. I'm optimistic. We got some young guys, Albies, Acuna. I mean, you still got Freddie Freeman over there. I mean, Dansby Swanson. He underwent that hand injury. I mean, we're gonna see how he is. But yeah, I got the Dodgers going all the way too. Ironically. The Cubs, I'm not high on the Cubs, man. The Cubs are, I believe, are going to have some troubles with the Rockies. The Rockies are – Yep, I know. But the Dodgers, man, the Dodgers are loaded. The Dodgers are loaded, and those guys are going to click at the right time, and they're going to do it. And I don't see anybody stopping them. They've got a good staff.
Second,
they got bats,
second best record. Second best bags. Record in the National League, the Cubs, right behind them.
It's hard to go against them. But, yeah, I just want to, you know, shout out Braves one more time, man. And good year. Hopefully to build on it. No one expected what they were going to do this year. No one expected them to win the East, and they did that.
Cool. I'll put mine in real quick. I think Boston It's going to come down to Boston and Houston. Houston made a good run last year.
Yeah, they played good ball, though, in that 5-5.
They are the defending champs. They were in the similar position last year. They weren't the best record. They weren't I say the best record, but they just came in on a high. And I know Boston's been doing real well, but you got to look at Boston's last 10. They're 5-5 over the last 10. Houston's got the best in the AL over their last 10. They are 8-2. They play good ball, but I mean, you got to look at what same thing happened last year. Astros came in on a hot streak and they just rolled and they had the momentum and they just kept going. And it was just a crazy situation with Harvey and everything that hit last year.
They got a lot of talent, man.
So
a lot.
It's going to be down to Houston and Boston. I can't pick a winner out of that one. I hope that one goes 7. I really do, because I think that's going to be an incredible series. As far as the NL is concerned,
they're loaded like the Yankees in the 90s and early 2000s, man. They're loaded.
I have LA as well. I'm going to go with the Dodgers. Just like you, I just think they got too much talent. Oh, yeah. In LA.
He's a Mets fan. His season ended after the opening pitch.
I thought they should have done a lot of that. Even last year, you know. And I mean, they were there. Don't get me wrong.
He's nasty.
Yeah. So, Nick, what you got? You into that baseball thing? You want to take a swing?
I'm in complete agreement.
Dude, the Mets were killing it. Weren't they like 52-1 and then they lost like 107 straight? DeGrom
has dealt all year. He got jobbed by his teammates, unfortunately, for the Cy Young. He's not going to get that. But the boys up in Boston, they're gonna go all the way. Houston deserves respect. Houston deserves respect, but Boston, they got it up there. The Bravos, they're not going to be able to handle the Dodgers. We got the Dodgers over here. Dodgers got most talent in the league, baby. Most talent in the league. It's World Series a bust for them. The Cubbies beat the Rockies. The Cubbies go on to beat the Brewers as well. I'm not sold on the Brewers. The Cubs have been there. It's going to be LA and Boston and LA all the way, baby. I'm going with LA. They're living the LeBron hype out there.
I got you. Okay. Yeah, of course, the LeBron hype. Maybe we'll touch a little bit on LeBron next week or in a coming weeks. Maybe when basketball is relevant and this preseason stuff is over and the joke is finished and we can get to the real stuff. So, all right. I think that's it. I think that's about it. We want to do a little closing argument or closing statements, however you want to call it. You know, basically, all the witnesses have been seen at the stands. You got your lawyer, your defense attorney right here. Coming up and giving some closing arguments or statements. Kyle, you want to hit some – tell me what you're thinking about in life?
Oh, closing statements here. We're doing our adjourned, right, or sustained? All right, well, you can do that.
Just give us what you want to go on, man. Well, give me something good to talk about.
Here's what we're going to talk about then. We're going to talk about this. We're going to say this. My LSU Tigers.
Go Tigers.
I think we're for real. Most people don't think we're for real. We're going to find out if our number 5 ranking is for real, and that's where we belong. If we go into that creek this Saturday, 3:30,
the creek,
PBS, and we beat them boys, by 14 or more, and lay that woodshed slack into them. Because this is a decent – I mean, it's Florida now. I mean, they've had their down years, two different seasons with 4 wins, but the defense is still for real. You got Dan Mullen there. And my Tigers are going to go in there and smack them right in the mouth and give them what they deserve.
Just like Kentucky did, right? Big, powerful East Kentucky, right? Tigers are a joke, man.
They are for real. Because listen, I'll tell you this. If Alabama were to go into the creek, if Alabama or Georgia go in the creek this weekend, Alabama would win by 20, Georgia would win by 14. LSU is the team who everyone doesn't think they are if they go in there and win by 14 or more.
Okay.
Book it!
Oh, my. Nick, you got anything? You got anything other than Go Tigers? Please help me out a little bit. Give me something relevant to talk about.
His head's swirling more than Felipe Franks on a 3rd and long.
I'm going to make a case. I'm going to make a case for a local team around here.
There you go.
I reside in the great state of Florida. And I think that it's time to go ahead and dub the UCF Knights as a legitimate playoff contender. They're not going to be able to keep this team out. Let me talk here. They're not going to be able to keep this team out. Not only did they self-proclaim themselves as national champions last year, but they also are still undefeated this year. And continuing on that streak, they don't have another person on this. They don't have another team on this schedule that's going to beat them. How can you keep them out after the, after as many wins straight as they have? People are so tired of hearing this.
Hey,
this UCF can compete with anybody in the country. Let's see it. Let's see it. Put them in the playoff and let's see it.
Florida Atlantic. They blew out the Kiffins, the mighty Kiffins.
Listen, these boys deserve an opportunity because you put them in a bowl game and they win their bowl game. You put them up against their SEC opponent, and then they do what they have to do. So it's time to put them and put their money where their mouth is.
I mean,
give them their opportunity. If they continue to go undefeated and they continue to win, it's not their fault they're not in a Power 5 conference. And it's not their fault that the schedules were made several years in the past and can't help a weaker schedule. Now, had they known they had the team they had, maybe they'd be more inclined to play in better teams and having a stronger schedule.
I mean,
but at this point, you have what they have to play with, and they deserve an opportunity if they continue to be undefeated. Boise State got their chance some years back, and they made a run. Don't forget the Oklahoma Tostitos Bowl. Don't forget it. The Fiesta Bowl. Don't forget it.
Okay.
Boise State got their opportunity, and they took it.
That's the part that I'm saying. I mean, so did UCF win the Tostitos Bowl when they had Bortles as well. So this is my thing. They should already be recruiting in the point to where they can play these bigger games and can schedule them, because Bortles has been in the league, 4 or 5 years now? So there's no excuse for not scheduling actual teams on your schedule if you're UCF or Boise State.
Well, that's like saying that for Miami of Ohio when they had Ben Roethlisberger. Don't name just one guy and say that they should be playing Power 5 conferences because they have one guy.
No, I'm saying because they actually won a Tostitos Fiesta Bowl.
I'm saying back then when they had him, they should be scheduling because
no,
of the
I'm saying this year. You're saying you shouldn't hold against them that they don't have a good schedule this year. Well, 4 years ago they had Bortles and Breshad Perriman and a couple other guys. Storm Johnson.
Don't forget about AJ
Storm
Boye.
Johnson. They also had it Boye. Yes, they had all these guys on the team. They won the Fiesta Bowl. So I'm saying now you're saying you can't hold UCF team now guilty for not having a harder schedule. Yes, you can, because guess what?
They scheduled North Carolina at the time when they scheduled North Carolina. They may have been a good team.
As long as you're scheduling North Carolina and you're scheduling Maryland and you're scheduling, I don't know, Purdue's. I mean, go out there and schedule at least bottom feeders or mid level people so we can see.
They scheduled Pittsburgh and North Carolina, and they dubbed Pittsburgh a team that beat.
I mean, Clemson. A few years ago. Clemson, I mean,
Pittsburgh's
OC was Matt Canada 2 years ago when they beat Clemson. That was forever ago.
Let's see what UCF for the playoffs, baby. UCF, get your chance. Hey, y'all deserve it, baby. Y'all deserve it.
Go Knights, right?
Go Knights. Troy beat LSU. LSU beat Auburn. Auburn beat Alabama. Troy is a national champion.
Oh my!
They're the best team. Okay. They're the best team in Alabama. Dub them. They earned it.
Guys, I want to get a little serious here for a moment, okay? When I end this on a good, serious note, I want to wish you all the success you deserve. Don't take a single day, a single snap for granted. Own the moment, and give the Browns fan every bit of happiness they deserve. Sincerely, your man crush Monday, Johnny Money Manziel. Guys, listen, go Johnny, go. The man is back. He's out there even sizing. You seen him? Throwing touchdowns on trick plays, celebrating the old Money Manziel way. Yep. Johnny, I wish you the best. You're going to do great, kid. You're sober now. You got you a nice wife. You're starting to live that family life. You're living up in there in Canada. I know your boy Drake's probably flying from you know, show to show to even stop up there and see you throw a couple bombs now that you're in his home country. So other than that, that's pretty much all I got. I really don't know. Johnny, I don't know what to say about that sincere letter. Hey, Johnny, call him. Just text him. I love you, bro. You're doing great. You're doing better than I did.
needs a spotlight. Let me pin this letter to Baker.
Money is back.
No, I don't know what video you're talking about though. Was he's throwing touchdown passes to what? I mean,
No. He just scored his first touchdown
in Canada in the Canadian league.
On a trick play.
I mean, what's it? Where did? Can we get his stats up real quick? Does anyone have his stats for the Canadian league?
I don't know. Johnny's gonna be great. Hey, I'm a Johnny fan.
Stats
I think
on
the kid
Canadian league.
I really do. I hope he comes back and I hope he wows everybody. He was A&M. Man. That's the team I root for. So I'm always gonna have
For everybody that's still tuned in, I just want to let y'all know we do have a couple of we have some correspondents coming up in the future, some team correspondents, some guys who have some expertise in certain areas with specific teams. So if you're looking for anything more from the channel or anything else you're trying to get out of this, go ahead and holler at us and leave it in the comment section.
Definitely look into it. I've got we're also going to have a special guest, Derek Brown, former NFL player. He played on the Oakland Raiders, the New Orleans Saints, and the Indianapolis Colts back when they went all the way. So Derek's going to go out there. He's going to tell us. I think we're going to talk a little bit about him. He's going to tell me a little bit about Peyton. He's going to tell us all about Peyton, how Peyton Manning is. And he's going to tell us a little bit about the NFL life. We're going to bring in – I want his opinion on the roughing the passer rule as well. So he does a lot right now with the NFLPA. So we're going to bring him in, sit him down. He's going to talk to us in the next couple weeks. Definitely be on the lookout for that. Kyle, you got anything to send us off with?
Yeah, looking like Johnny in his four games.
Oh, God.
Four games,
we
got five picks, two touchdowns. I mean, first game.
Hey, did he throw in?
First game, I don't know what he's got as far as attempts and completions, but completion percentage, week one, 56%. Ouch. 138 yards, but with two touches. Okay.
Hey, Steph can't break the three-point record without shooting a lot of threes.
I'm sorry.
You know what I'm saying? Let him go.
We've got Uncle Rusty's reviews.
That was last week after on week four in the Canadian League was his first touchdown. He actually got two of them.
The rules are different, man. I don't think he understands.
I mean,
take off.
I get it, but when your very first, I mean, here's the stats 1 through 4 weeks. I just gave you week four.
Here we go. God, you know what? I think we're gonna name this the Slaw Office of Stat.
I mean, at least I'm not pinning letters to people over here. I'm not pinning letters to you.
Fucking Tim Hasselbeck over here.
I'm dropping.
God, they got the same hairline, people. They
prime
got the same
time dimes over here.
What is your
prime time dimes with 55%? 55% throwing the ball, 104 yards passing, four picks. This kid's lighting it up. He's lighting it up.
Shoot, man.
Okay, a little bit
shoot
better.
Shoot.
He
can't break the record.
He caught
time.
A hot streak real quick. 61.5% completion. That's not bad at all. 168 yards. That is bad. Then 72
completion. Now, here we go, guys. Listen, thank y'all for tuning in. Look, we're going to probably end it here. I'm sure Kyle's going to continue spitting out stats for the next 15 minutes.
112 yards, another pick. I mean, I don't know what all these picks was he thinking about the letter he was writing.
Russo and Peretti will be back next week. Well, we're going to release this episode. What's the day? I don't even know what today is. Be on the lookout for this episode.
October
be ready 1. For next week. We're going to come up with even more stuff. Comment. Let us know what you think. Like the page. Send your friends over here. Let us know what they think. All that good stuff. Give us some topics. Let's start debating. Let's start bringing this stuff live. Hopefully, we'll get some video out soon. Thank you guys for tuning in. We appreciate it.